Filling in for George Norrie tonight. Coming up tomorrow night, we'll talk about the Poisoner's Handbook and the birth of CSI. It's a fascinating story. How many famous people were poisoned before these toxicology labs were opened so that they could begin to find out who had authentically died from, say, a heart attack or died from some undeterminable cause back then, and how many people had been intentionally knocked off by greedy relatives, including the founder of Rice University. But more on that coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. We've been following the story out of Chile about a massive 8.8 magnitude earthquake capable of huge damage. They're just now getting reports in of a tsunami. That a tsunami is going to be affecting that area and perhaps heading up to the northern hemisphere as well. But for now, what we know is six people have been confirmed killed from this earthquake. But that could go up greatly. The location of the massive earthquake was just off the coast of Chile near Concepcion, Chile, which is the second largest population center, according to the maps that I have been reading. Buildings shook and collapsed, however, in Santiago. Phone lines are down. Confirmation of damage, difficult, especially the closer you get to the epicenter. The quake was felt in Argentina. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued a warning for a tsunami for Chile and Peru, and a less urgent tsunami watch for Ecuador, Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, and Antarctica. Sea level readings indicate a tsunami was generated. It may have been destructive along coasts near the earthquake epicenter and could also be a threat to more distant coasts. We just don't know yet. But we'll keep you updated and find out more before the end of this show. And what about you? Before the end of this show, we'll get your open line calls next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. By the way, for those of you who are linking up to me at Facebook, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not playing Farmville, and I'm not playing Mafia Wars. So thank you for the invitations, but I need more addictions in my life. Let me get to Gary in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast for open lines. Gary?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, whatever happened to conspiracy theories by Jesse Ventura? I love that show. Everybody I've talked to loved that show. And I think there was four or five episodes and gone. No reruns, nothing. Gone.
Well, I know a little bit about it, if you want to hear. They only shot seven. They only shot seven episodes. And so they ran through the seven. I think they did rerun them a couple of times. But they're holding, I think they were, last word I heard as of a week ago, was that they had not yet made a decision on whether they were going to shoot another season. So I don't know whether that has anything to do with the business end of it, because it seemed like they'd gotten, True TV had never had ratings like they had with this show from Jesse Ventura, or whether Jesse Ventura was making contractual demands for a second season or what. But he's kind of a tricky guy. I mean, you know, you're in Pennsylvania. He was my governor for a while. So he doesn't have as many fans here in Minnesota as he has in other parts of the country. And he's known for making demands. So could it be that they are just, you know, that they want to work with them or not work with them? Maybe he's already got a contract and they're ready to go and they're shooting episodes right now. But that's what I do know. Seven were in the can and they've all aired, and we're left to wait whether they're going to get more on. Okay?
Well, maybe they could dump Jesse and put Art in there then.
Yeah. Well, Art certainly has the pedigree, and I think we could all agree on that. You'll never accuse Art Bell of being a tourist on that subject. Don is in Ontario, Canada. He's Skyping us on Coast to Coast. Don?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Don, where do you want to take us?
Olympics.
Okay.
You're Apollo Ono guy. Your most decorated Olympic athlete.
Yeah?
3, correct?
Right. Yeah, just got a bronze again tonight.
What, what a whiny little bitch.
Oh, come on, Don.
No, seriously.
No, wait, Don, this is radio. Don.
Olympic medal away from me. No, he didn't.
Okay, well, then we can have a...
Watch the replay from the back. Hey,
right.
I wish all the Americans the greatest luck in the world, and they're doing quite well in the Olympics, but
right.
I'm sorry. For an Olympic athlete, as decorated as what he is, to sit there and say, I got robbed, come on. Give it a rest.
All right. I appreciate that. Okay. I'm just going to cut you off before you go that. We're just having too nice a night for have to go that far. But you certainly have a right to disagree with Apollo Ono. Let me go to James, east of the Rockies in Maine on Coast to Coast. James?
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing well. Where do you want to take us?
Well, thank you for having me on, by the way. It's a pleasure. Some years back, I wanted to mention the thing about the orca. And I, by the way, I call them orcas because I'm not really crazy about that killer whale denomination. Some years back, and I'm sorry, I've been on the net since I first got on trying to find evidence of this thing, and I cannot find it. There's a place called Robson Bight on Vancouver Island that is in the strait there on the protected side. And I had read about a researcher who was diving, watching the whales. They come in to scratch themselves on the gravel bottom of this place. And I remember seeing video on television some time back, too. Actually, the men couldn't have been more than 10 feet away from these animals. And you watch them come in, 8 feet of water, 10 feet of water. Well, apparently something went wrong with his regulator. He was accompanied by his wife and his daughter, and they were in the boat. And in the process of drowning, the whales figured it out, and they went to the boat and pounded on the boat to alert the wife that something was wrong. Unfortunately, the man died. There just wasn't any rescuing him. But I cite this just as and if I may, if you have enough time, I have another example. But I cite this primarily because I think that given their intelligence and general cetacean intelligence, we're not dealing with intellectual blank cartridges here, and whatever occurred in where the heck was it, Florida, where the trainer got drowned. We don't know the whole story. You know, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. It's almost like that thing that happened to the Australian there when he got speared with the stingray. You know, everybody, go out and kill all the stingrays. It's nuts. I realize it's a natural reaction for a lot of people, but God, everybody, step back a moment and take a breath.
I haven't heard anybody talk about killing all the killer whales, or for that matter.
No. Thank God. We haven't heard that. You're right.
Okay, and I as of last report, I don't think there was any discussion about whether or not they were going to euthanize this killer whale down at SeaWorld. I mean, I have every reason to suspect and hope that they're going to let this. I'd love to see them just let the whale loose and send it back up to Iceland and the waters where that it came from. But
I agree with you. I think, granted, we're a bored species. We like to be entertained. So unfortunately, you know, we rope these poor animals into things like this, and I'm not exactly a fan, I have to tell you. Yes, it's entertaining to watch, but I don't know. I have misgivings.
There's a lot of conservationists that believe strongly in programs like this, that it keeps us connected to species that otherwise we, you know, out of sight, out of mind, we wouldn't pay any attention to. So I think even within the environmentalist conservationist community, there's debate about whether it's good. I don't think anybody thinks of it as wholly bad. It sure seems kind of crazy, though, and thanks for the comment, that, you know, whales that are used to having such a wide range to roam in are limited so much in what they can do. And I think it would all drive us a little bit crazy. Somebody likened it today to me to us being in a 4x4 foot room, and that we're too big for that room, and we would all go mad under those circumstances. By the way, looking at the latest on the tsunami watch, there is a concern. I mean, I can't speak with authority other than what I'm reading on the internet about this, but the U.S. West Coast Tsunami Warning Center said it did not expect a tsunami along the west coast of the U.S. or Canada from the offshore earthquake near Chile. But remember that the largest earthquake ever recorded struck that same area of Chile in May of 1960, And that magnitude was 9.5 quake. This was an 8.8, now they're saying, magnitude. That 9.5 quake killed 1,655 people, left 2 million homeless, and the tsunami that it caused killed people in Hawaii, Japan, and the Philippines, and caused damage to the west coast of the United States, but nobody was killed here. So there is reason for concern, and we'll continue to follow it. Larry is in Loma Linda, California, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
So the physicists and astronomers all have this theory of the Big Bang. I'm of the opinion that maybe there was more than one Big Bang. As an example, each galaxy in itself being a Big Bang, separate from one Big Bang for everything.
Okay, that's interesting. Anything to back up that theory other than it sounds good?
No, I'm not that knowledgeable about that kind of stuff, but just okay. As a thought, that
yeah.
Maybe some of the, like Hawking's and what's that other guy? I can't remember his name, but they all have various theories on the Big Bang and stuff.
Right. Well, all right. That's maybe who knows where, like an intellectual tsunami, Larry, where these waves of yours that you just started there will go. Like to Jeff in Mendocino, California, on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Hi, yeah. This is Jeff off the Mendocino Coast here in Northern California, where, you know, we also have an actor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and maybe Jesse Ventura and Schwarzenegger could have a runoff as to who's the best governor, and they could run off and leave us all alone as far as politically get back to their acting job. I called tonight to discuss the situation with the whales. I was fortunate as a young boy to a teenager to be a junior lifeguard in the county of Los Angeles. So it was like junior Baywatch. And they instructed us at that time because Jaws was out. And so everybody was hyper aware of situations about sea life coming up and having you for lunch or dinner. And they heavily instructed us to be very careful of any cuts, wounds from shaving, from scrapes. Women on a monthly basis, not to go anywhere near the water. And they also suggested to take a shower just for body fluids and that the animals might smell and decide, hey, you know, blood, hey, ketchup, lunch, dinner. And that could very well have been what happened to the people who've been chewed up by these creatures. They have a natural trigger to that. And in fact, we went on an expedition to Catalina Island, our diving trip out there as part of our training. And the day after, Ian, they caught a great white shark right where we were.
Wow.
Which may have lent credibility to the aspect of just smelling body fluids, let alone
right.
blood. The woman
right.
who you knew that was attacked by the dog, something
right.
as simple as a bit lip or a bloody nose breathing out and the animal smelling that and especially waking up from a dream state.
Right, or even smelling fear,
exactly.
You know, as that she came across a pack of dogs, and who knows what the trigger was there. Right, interesting thoughts. Thanks, Jeff. Whatever it is, we do know that this attack had occurred and that this killer whale or this orca had done this before, and yet there are no shortage of people who say it ought to be kept there and they ought to keep training it. How many will it take? Rich, first-time caller line in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast. Rich?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Great show. Listen, I want to actually, first off, I wanted to say I agree with you about releasing the whale. That would definitely be probably in its best interest. And also, the second is about the day after Nicholas Meyer directing.
Yep.
The Cold War lasted from, the 50s to about, 90, 91?
Yeah, right. Well, you got the fall of the wall, right? And that was 89?
Yeah, 89, yeah.
Okay, right. So, we could mark it there.
Okay. The biggest escalation was the Cuban Missile Crisis, correct?
Well, okay, one of them, I would say. But, yeah, go ahead. I mean, you had a couple others. You had the U-2 spy plane incident. You had several other things, but okay.
As far as where I'm heading with this is that in Ronald Reagan's memoirs, he's implying that, and now I haven't read this, I'm just going by what you're saying. Is he implying that only then that he realized that nuclear war or the missiles should be pretty much come to a standstill, come to a close?
Nicholas Meyer was implying that by the movie The Day After?
No, Ronald Reagan.
It was Ronald Reagan. I think what he was just saying is that it was better to have more communication than less, to be heading in the direction of no more nukes instead of more nukes. I don't know that there was anything so hard and fast as there shouldn't be any, but just to start going in that direction was to reverse the trend.
Just by that, just by saying that, does that imply that if the movie had not occurred, would it have increased or escalated? Would another escalation have happened?
I think the implication is that, yeah, that somehow that Ronald Reagan, who, because he had been an actor, related to the same information that had been around for a while about the unsustainability of the planet after, you know, a major nuclear back and forth, that a nuclear winter was virtually unsurvivable. But the Ronald Reagan interfaced with that material better because it was put in the form of a narrative, and that somehow made him think differently about the same information that he might have had before. Does that not sound reasonable?
That's from his memoirs?
According to Nicholas Meyer, when he talked to his official biographer.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, that was my question, really. I just wanted to know where it would have gone had that movie not happened. Right. Because I remember when I was 11 years old, I saw that movie, and it was horrifying. I didn't really grasp the nature of the movie. But, it was terrible.
I think maybe that's true for all of us. If you think about some of the major movements that have occurred in our society over the last, I don't know, 50 years, right? Even if you think in terms of racism and reversing the trends of racism, reversing the trends of opening up civil rights to people, it sometimes takes a movie. You know, it took Philadelphia for some people to reconsider gay rights. It took, fill in the blank, In the Heat of the Night for some people to reconsider racism. Or for that matter, since it came up earlier, guess who's coming to dinner? And I think that happens. I think there's lots of us that you know, we can. Some people love lectures, and some people get the same thing when that material is fictionalized and presented as a play. So we'll get the last half hour of your questions and comments on Open Lines on Coast to Coast. I've friended everybody I can tonight, I think. But if you want to, you can go ahead and keep doing that. And then tomorrow night, it'll be The Poisoner's Handbook on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I got a couple of Facebook alerts from people who are telling me about CNN reporting that a tsunami wave possibly as high as 9 feet could make its way to Hawaii. But I don't have any confirmation of that. I can't get to cable news at this point. I did check the CNN website. There's nothing on there about that, except for, of course, the story of the powerful earthquake that rattled Santiago and Concepcion, two of the larger cities in Chile. In Santiago, which is further away than Concepcion, to the earthquake's epicenter, hotels are reporting power outages, windows breaking all throughout the hotel. Hotel shook pretty hard, but no collapses of those types of buildings, which were constructed with earthquakes in mind. However, there have been reports of other buildings falling down, lesser structures, perhaps, to be said, in Concepcion and in Santiago. But because a lot of power lines are down and phone lines are down, we don't have full reports yet. And there is no official tsunami warning for Hawaii or for the U.S. West Coast. Simply that, I guess this is possible, according to some people who are speculating that, according to the email. How about that for slightly distended information? It's open lines. We'll get to as many as we can between now and the end of this hour. Look forward to finding out where you're going to take us next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponett. All right, let's get back to the open line calls. We pick it up with Howie, who's been waiting the longest in Phoenix on Coast to Coast. Howie?
Yeah, how you doing, Ian, tonight?
Good. How we doing?
How we doing? Ian don't know. let me ask you a question. I was telling your screener, Gina, that mm-hmm. I have Gina?
Yes.
Okay, I told her I have a gerbil, right? You know, because people are talking about, you know, the whales going nuts, chimpanzees, and bees leaving and, you know, things like that. And, like, he's been jumping up and just hitting his head on top of his tank thing.
Huh. And for no other reason, you think, than perhaps that there's he's sensing something atmospheric or geological?
I have a feeling it's that, because he's never acted like that. And the way things are going now, you notice that things are happening so quick, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes all over the place, tsunamis, and things like that. The animals are picking up on a lot of the stuff. The planet is shifting. Okay. Now, you know the story about New Jerusalem?
You'll have to be more specific.
In the book of Revelation, it says there'd be a new heaven, new earth.
Okay, fine. Now I know what your frame of reference is. Okay.
Okay. So what I think is happening is that New Jerusalem is going to be coming down, right? That's what it says, coming down. And the planet is going to be, it's not going to be like all of a sudden, you know, the end. It's an end and it's a beginning of an age, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, a new heaven, you know, a new earth,
you know,
a new Jerusalem,
when
right?
When Christ said, I will be with you to the end of the world, you know, the word in the Greek is age. So things are shifting right now. And we're going to be, I know this sounds, but I can say this on Coast to Coast. It's going to be like a multi-dimensional thing where a lot's going to be leaving and a lot's going to be coming simultaneously. You know what I'm saying?
But you know that the word, I mean, I'm pulling this out of, you know, let's just say my hat. But, I mean, when you're talking about new in terms of Revelation, right. The Greek word doesn't necessarily mean new in time.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean, it means fresh.
Wow.
So it doesn't, I mean, and we use that word new for fresh pretty reasonably, right? So
that's interchangeably, right.
Right. So I think that doesn't mean that it's necessarily one is going to end and that there will be a new one, or well, there's going to be an old one and a new one, but just a freshening.
Interesting, put them both together, both those ideas, and just them into one.
Right. So I think that's what we could all look forward to, is a freshening. And whether what that means or how far we want to go with it, I'll leave that up to you, the reader of Revelation. But it always compelling to go back to the original Greek, because as the what's the expression, traditore, right? If I got that right, that the translator is always a traitor. So we always have to make a decision when we're translating, and it's not always the one that was intended by the original writer. Alex is in Toronto on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Alex?
Hi, Ian. Just wanted to bring a few things into perspective about the killer whale.
Sure.
The one that killed that lady, the previous location where it resided in another theme park, the man that died, he actually snuck into the park after it was closed. I believe he was drunk, and he ended up drowning in the pool.
The point is, they actually don't know what happened to the man, because he was found there dead, but because it happened after dark, and obviously the man's not talking and the whale's not talking, we don't know exactly what happened.
True, but you know, right. He did sneak in after hours by himself and decide to go swimming with a whale. You know, he has no training in understanding how these animals act.
He had a history of trying to sneak into the park, and right, that's what I understand about that guy. But then there was also the attack where, previous to that, where the whale, along with another whale, had been linked to the death of another trainer. So I'm not, believe me, I'm not arguing for, you know, to euthanize the fellow. Well, I'm just saying, let him go. Get him out back into the ocean. So
my main point is that to get him out into the ocean, Jacques Cousteau's son was on Larry King, and he made a point that if we cannot release that into the ocean because it's bred in captivity, it would not survive. I'm not sure if that's...
It wasn't bred in captivity. It was actually captured off the coast of Iceland.
Really? He said that because it's been bred in captivity that it probably wouldn't survive.
Well, the fact that it may have been held in captivity for so long, it might have forgotten some of its, survival
instincts.
That's
the only thing I'm worried about. So.
Right. Well, I saw Free Willy, and that was a documentary, Free Willy, about when they were releasing the whale.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and he remembered. Suddenly, it all came back to him. So, I know, you really can't win with this subject, and Alex, thanks for trying. We don't really know what would happen. We just know this seems untenable. For all we know, this whale is trying to communicate to us in a big way, let me out. If another one dies, if another trainer is killed, then what do we do? I mean, if it's a death penalty to send him out back into the wild, to airlift him off the coast of Iceland and let him go again and try and find his pod, if that's a death penalty, well, okay, well, I think better, more humane that the whale should die that way than any more discussions about euthanizing them in captivity. Sean is in L.A. on Coast to Coast. Sean?
Hello. I really love listening to you and George Norrie, but I look forward especially to the programs you have. I think they're very interesting and very in-depth. So thank you for that. And had a dream last Saturday. Actually, probably early Saturday morning, I have dreams on occasion of premonition style, and this one happened to be in Greenland, and I was on a boat in a fjord with ice caps all around and hundreds, if not thousands, of orcas in the water, swimming in pods of families and breaching and... I've never traveled outside of the United States, and it really blew my mind and left a very vivid impact on my memory. Sure. And I wrote about it, and there were other components to it, but the main part was the whales and knowing that they are such primitive creatures and the importance and the role that they play on this planet. We have to pay attention to them, and I was not very... surprised, as saddened because of the loss of life, but what happened in Florida, it really got me a little curious and concerned, because it's usually a telling of what's going to come, which has happened in Japan and Chile. And anyway, so I don't know if anybody else out there has had dreams, but I pray for all those in Chile that...
Yeah. Especially those people we can't, you know, and thank you so much, Sean. If you're inclined to pray, I really encourage you to do that. And remember to hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. You think about what happened in Haiti with a 7.0 magnitude earthquake and 8.8. That's not just like 1.8 worse. It's a logarithmic worse, and it's significantly worse. Not as bad as the 9.5 that remains the biggest earthquake ever recorded, but it's bad. And it's too early to get reports on just how devastating it could be. Maybe it'll just be the 6 people that have been reported killed so far. Well, let's keep an eye on all of those, including those potential tsunamis. Glenn, east of the Rockies in Alberta on Coast to Coast.
Hey, Glenn? How you doing?
Good.
It's not a scary dog story, but I'm glad the Olympics show up once every 4 years, because my dog, for some reason, when she watches it, like sometimes I don't even have to watch, I can just listen to it on the radio. But whenever Canada hear we're in the gold medal, I rather get nipped by my dog on the leg or on the hand.
What do you mean? She'll
grab me and nip me. Like,
because
she's
hearing O Canada, or because there's...
Huh?
What's the trigger?
I have no idea. I just turn on an Olympic event, and she'll look at the TV for a while, then walk away, and in the middle, while it's still going, she'll rather nip me, or she's laying beside me, we win a silver, or she's laying on the floor watching, we win a bronze. People come over and can't believe it until the actual final thing happens, and it's like, good Lord.
But is it, could it be the playing of O Canada when somebody steps up to the podium to collect the gold?
No, she does it while the event's going on.
While the event is going on. She yeah. seems to know.
Exactly.
How about that? Okay, well, thanks. And, I like that. My dog doesn't. My dog sleeps through everything. I'm trying to get a few more people in before the top of the hour. I've been waiting for a while. Frederick is in Phoenix on Coast to Coast. Frederick?
Yes, good morning, Ian. Thank you for taking my call. American citizen living in Phoenix, grew up in Ontario, Canada.
Oh, how about that? Well, there's a lot of crossing back and forth on the borders these days.
Absolutely, yes, sir. My reason for my call this morning, Ian, and hello to all our wonderful Coast family. There are no coincidences, as Mr. George Norrie would say. I believe that the erratic behavior exhibited by the orca in the last few days, which is very tragic, was a triggering event for this earthquake and tsunami. I have also checked my Arizona Republic here, and I've noticed that, yes, lost pet advertisements have increased in the last 5 days. I do believe that the animals are so sensitive that they pick up something that human beings simply are not sensitive enough to pick up. But my real point, Ian, is to give you some firsthand information, if you would like, on the experimental, quote, special census program.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the American Community Survey?
Yes, indeed. I was 1 year ago, I was one of 250,000 Americans who were selected randomly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Read between the lines. I don't know if to receive, quote, the long form.
Right.
Experimental census request. I read the form, Ian, and it was, if you remember the song Immigration Man, this census form is big enough to keep you warm when the cold wind's blowing, even in Ontario, Ian.
How many questions are on there?
I would say that it was over 100. It was a trifold. You could easily make a small suit for a child out of the amount of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I reviewed it and determined that the questions were over and above what the United States government should be allowed to ask its citizenry, and I elected not to return the form. Well,
anything bad happened to you?
Yes, sir. This is what I would like to tell you. There is a follow-up and a procedure that they do. They call you if they do not receive your experimental long form, and they continue to call you until you talk to them. Then they send you out a second form. Now, the second time I said, you know, I will fill it out. I'm a good American citizen. I don't mind filling out the census, the 10 questions. Long story short, Ian, I filled out the entire thing. It took me 3 hours, and I sent it into them, and then I got a phone call. Mr. Frederick, we have not received your response, and we have sent you out 2 forms. I politely told him that I had spent 3 hours and sent it in, to which they replied, well, sometimes this happens. It must have been lost in the mail. Long story short, Ian, they then attempted and requested and asked me for permission to give me a telephone interview. I said, what if I am not comfortable with this? Just a minute, let me get a supervisor for you. The supervisor came on, and I said to them, long story short, what happens if I elect not to answer any further questions, seeing as I have sent in the completed form? You know what he said to me, Ian?
Mm-mm.
He said, the calls will continue. And I said, the calls will continue? And he said, yes, the calls will continue until you provide the information required by law.
Mm.
I said, which ones are required by law? And he said, every question in the form is required by law.
Well, Frederick, I got to get a couple other people in here. But so upshot is, have you filled it in or not?
This was a year ago. At that point, I had filled it in, and they did the telephone interview. In the middle of it, they informed me that, yes, now they were satisfied with the information that they had, and thank you, and to which I replied, I hope that the information has been helpful to you.
Well, that information was helpful to me, so thank you, and I'm sorry you had to go through that. If it's not unconstitutional, it's certainly obnoxious. Patrick's in New Hampshire, first-time caller line. Hey, Patrick.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good. Just got a minute for you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'd like to start off. I take it you're into theology a bit.
I'm an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Church. I serve about 20 hours a week pro bono in various charitable causes.
You know, I've seen recently about name meanings and how they may lead theologically to, or mythologically and genealogically to gods or goddesses. And mine being Noble Son of Rule of the Spear, White Island, do you think that that might have any meaning?
Which name you're talking about, Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick F. Whitney. MySpace.
Oh, okay.
And if you go to my MySpace, you'll see. I took pictures tonight, and it's God being pulled on a sled and all the evil creatures around coming. I have all these pictures on my MySpace, and I hope everybody in this fucking world looks.
Okay, all right. We bleeped that one, right? You got that one. All right. What a way to end, you know? If that were a sincere meltdown, I'm sorry for what you're going through. It must be tough. If that was just something you felt like doing to spice up your night, dude, could have lived without that. Well, that just means we'll get back on the horse coming up tomorrow night. The Poisoner's Handbook. Before you think about ever taking somebody's life with poison, take a look at this book. It pretty much assures you will be caught. And also, when we all die, and we all will, many of us will have various levels of poisons in our system that did not come as a result of somebody's plot to do away with us. There's a lot of poisons in the atmosphere. There's a lot of poisons back then when they began to investigate poisons. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow night on Coast to Coast, Deus Tiamat, and I Do Too.